Our theme tonight is faith, promise, missions, giving. Faith, promise, missions, giving. Your pastor explained that very well. And I want to keep it a simple introductory message for the week here. And so we'll just begin. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it is not the typical passage of where you would think we would find giving. We'll get to that. If you're able to stand, let's stand out of reverence to the Word of God this evening. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll have a word of prayer and let you be seated again. Thank you for the honor for allowing me to be here and to preach the Word of God. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday evening. And it wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. See, God uses all of us. You have to be here in order to be a part, to get something, to give something. You've got to be here, and you're here tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." I want us to focus a little bit this evening on the faith missions aspect of it. We're going to talk about faith, we're going to talk about missions, we're going to talk about giving here at the conclusion of it, but I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork for this week as we enter into it. And if you are familiar with most of this, which most of you probably will be, then I'd like to just ask you to listen to the Lord and maybe see if He won't prompt you again and stir your heart in some area, in some matter. And I know Paul told Timothy, and Peter used it, that we would stir up the gift that is within us. And so my responsibility tonight is to come in to help stir up your pure minds by the gospel. And so by God's grace, that's what I want us to look at. Three aspects concerning faith, promise, missions tonight. Let's bow our heads and our hearts together. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again. Lord, we recognize how unworthy that we are to be here. Lord, how unclean and undone as sinners that we are. Apart from your grace and mercy, God, we'd be in hell tonight. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for Lord, the freedom and the forgiveness we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the liberty that we have as believers to assemble together as your people and to worship your name and to praise you together. And Lord, to listen to the word of God as it's proclaimed. And tonight I call upon you, Lord, for strength and for support. Lord, for sustenance. God, for power. Lord, I am helpless and hopeless apart from you. God, you know my heart. Lord, I have nothing to say apart from your word. And Lord, this night and this message is not about me. God, it is about you and your word and your work to be accomplished in the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls, right here at South Knollwood, and then ultimately around the world. And God, we need your help. We need your touch. Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd come and work in our hearts and in our lives tonight. God, I pray that you'd change us. I pray that you'd convict us where we need convicting. I pray you would correct us where we need correcting. And God, I pray that you would conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, tonight. God, help us with this thought tonight as we enter into this missions conference, this first night as we begin. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, stir up our hearts and our minds for the faith of the gospel. And Lord, that we would listen and that we would learn and that we would love and that we would live for you more as a result of having been here. God, don't let us leave here without being changed. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I find here in our text, Paul the apostle is giving us a scenario here, really, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to preach just for a few moments here this evening on the aspects of missions. And really, I'm going to focus on the first point a little more. Although we're going to get to giving here in just a few moments, I want you to listen carefully because oftentimes we are moved away from the very purpose. Say, what is missions? And why do we have missions conferences? And why do we bring missionaries in? And what's the big deal about missions? Well, I want us to begin with the first aspect of missions, and that is the foundation for missions. If there's going to be missionary sent, we're going to have to go to the foundation of what missions really is. You say, so, preacher, what's missions all about? And let me tell you in one word what it is about: the gospel. It is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we recognize from this text here that Paul is speaking here to the Corinthians, and he says, moreover, brethren, yea, and above, brethren, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Let me just stop and say that missions is all about declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we get moved away from that, it's not really missions. At the very center, in the very heart of what we do at Junction City Baptist Church and at South Knollwood Baptist Church and at the places of these missionaries at their churches on the foreign fields, at any point if we get moved away from the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is no longer missions. Your pastor mentioned it to us in the meeting before service about supporting those that were local church and local church minded about the gospel, and I appreciated what he stated. Hey, there might be some other organizations out there helping people do some good, but listen, we're concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest good that can take place anywhere on the face of the earth today is that the gospel be preached. We want to examine this thought here this evening. The foundation for missions is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, what is the gospel? Let's just back up and let's go through first grade again, all right? Shall we tonight? Hurry along with me. The death, the burial, and what? Resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. Who is who? Get it? You got it, Son of God. Who else? The Savior. He is God in the flesh, the incarnate, the Son of God that came. Hey, listen, there's a lot of terms. We could describe Jesus for a while tonight, and it might be a good thing for us to just go back to kindergarten or first grade and remember who Jesus really is. There's a world that's out here just outside these doors that have no clue who Jesus is. Without us defining who Jesus is, we don't really have a gospel. The good news of who? Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, what's the big deal? What's the good news about Jesus all about? Well, we first need to understand who we are. You see, tonight, there's a lot of people who have been moved away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pastor a church in a town of about 25,000 people. Many of you have been through there. You know Junction City well. And a lot of military come and go through the Junction City area. And throughout Junction City, about 25,000 people, there are 48, my last recollection there and research, 48, can I just say it this way, religious organizations. I do not believe that they're considered local churches, New Testament churches, based upon the Scripture. You understand that? Galatians, Paul said, if any man come unto you and preach another gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Yet there are many institutions and organizations today preaching another gospel. And Paul said it this way, if an angel come from heaven, well, I think there's a religion out there that says there was an angel that came. There's a denomination or a religion organization that describes their religion based upon an angel coming and giving a word. I'm not interested in that tonight. I'm interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm interested in what God has to say through His Word. And I'm just simply saying tonight, there are many churches. In fact, there are many churches that maybe have the name Baptist on it, but yet they've been moved away from the gospel. I believe tonight that many times churches have our vocabulary, but they do not have our dictionary. Oh, they say the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll say the love of God. They'll make the same claims that we do, but they don't have the same meaning. They don't have the same definitions. And the gospel is watered down. It can mean a number of things today. And I'm talking about in the Topeka area. I'm talking about in our state. What people describe the gospel as. Well, let's go back to the scripture and what Paul stated. He said, the gospel that I delivered unto you, verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And I like that. That's important. It's imperative that we understand that it was according to the scriptures. The inspired, infallible, inerrant word of Almighty God. It is what is the foundation for all faith and practice of our local churches. And so that being the foundation here, he says that it is according to the scriptures that Christ died and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Thank God today that we understand who Jesus is. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand in verse 14 who that was. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm glad that that Jesus became flesh. He was already God, but He became man so that He could atone for the sins of the world. And there's many different denominations out there that disagree with that Word and disagree with Jesus Christ being God Himself. Just last evening, my song leader and assistant, whatever you want to call him here, we don't really give titles. We're just servants, amen. But he was with me. We went out. We had about four visits to make, and we had a lengthy conversation with a man who believed that if there was a heaven or if there was a hell, you could just, you know, any way that you wanted to go, whatever you wanted to pursue, you know, whatever direction that you desired, you know, that was good enough. And surely God, and he knew enough scripture, but he didn't believe that. And I just said, sir, let me just tell you what the Bible says. You see, here's where I'm going with this. The foundation of missions tonight is about preaching the gospel. We can call it soul winning. We can call it evangelism. We can call it door knocking. We can call it canvassing. We can put any number of titles on it. But I'm telling you, if we get moved away from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're no longer doing missions. My prayer is in my own heart, my own life, and in our church that we would preach Jesus more than we ever have. Salvation is by Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 2, by which also ye are saved. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God and called upon His name for salvation? Amen. If you have, you've believed the gospel by which you are saved tonight. It was the gospel, the good news of Jesus, God in the flesh, who came and lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross and shed His blood for your sins, was buried and laid in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and early on the third morning rose from the grave. That's according to the scriptures. That's how you got saved. Yeah, that's right. You say, what are we preaching? I understand that God is love tonight. I understand that we have a great God and we could describe Him for a while tonight. But the point is this, missions and the foundation of it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be moved away from the foundation of the gospel that is found in Jesus Christ. Mark chapter number 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. There's a simple command. I heard a preacher say years ago, every creature needs a preacher. Amen. Every creature needs a preacher. Praise God. If it's just to one soul that I open the word of God and declare, thus saith the Lord, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. That's preaching the gospel. Boy, I've just had to stop lately. I mean, it seems like everyone I witness to, they've got some excuse or some other reason or this or that, and people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want the gospel. And I had to just stop the man last night and say, sir, that, he said, this is my perspective. I said, you're entitled to your perspective. That this is your perspective, but let me tell you the biblical perspective. And I paused for just a few moments and I preached the gospel to him. Say, did he believe and get saved? No, he turned and walked away and said, thank you. And we parted ways and I said, we'll agree to disagree. But I preached the gospel to him. He left there knowing and hearing the word of God. And I pray that the Holy Ghost comes and convicts him of his sin. But listen, we're living in a day today where because there's no preaching. Hey, listen, you do realize that in these last days, God has manifested his son to us through preaching. And it's the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. There is something about preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God that sinners fall under conviction and come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are there not more sinners coming to Jesus? Why are there not more conversions coming to Christ? I'll tell you why. Because there's not very much preaching of the gospel. God help us tonight, and I preach unto myself. I want to be a gospel preacher. I've told the Lord, it's been the burden of my heart as of late. Lord, I just want to be a gospel preacher. I just want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, sure, God loves you, but first of all, you've got to be desperate. You've got to be convicted. You've got to be lost. That's the problem today in America. Nobody's lost. We're good, preacher. How many times you hear that? Oh, we're good, preacher. Thanks. We're in the Laodicean church age. I believe that with all my heart. Increased with goods, have need of nothing. That's America right now. We're wealthy. We've got everything that we need. We don't need God. We don't need the church. We don't need anything. We're good. And until you preach the gospel and the Holy Ghost comes and convicts them, they're not going to know they're lost. You pray for us. I'm praying about how to get the gospel out in our city. I know years ago they used to set up tents and preach, and you know, well, that don't work anymore. People don't come to that. Well, I've been following in that line of thinking, but I don't know because I have never tried it. I'm just being honest. And I'm asking you to pray for us because I'm burdened to preach the gospel. I say, well, people won't like it. You'll make people upset. It'll offend some people. And the city won't like it. I know, and I face all that and fight that too. But the truth of the matter is, God didn't call me to make everybody happy. People are dying and going to hell. You think they're going to be happy in hell for eternity? Somebody's got to tell them. Do we love them enough to tell them to preach the gospel? I'm telling you, church, this is the burden tonight, is to preach the gospel, every single one of you, to open your mouth and to declare Jesus. That's what Paul said. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He's reminding them about what he already preached when he was there. He said, when I came, you heard me, and I preached the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you got saved. And by the way, you're still standing in that same gospel. Thank God that we still stand in the gospel that we're saved by. And praise the Lord for it tonight, church. Let us understand the foundation for missions. Let us understand that it begins with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what are we to do? Preach the gospel. What are these missionaries? What have they been doing for 30 and 40 years? They've been preaching the gospel. Laboring in the gospel. The testimonies bear witness tonight. What a missionary is supposed to do? Preach the gospel. What are we supposed to do? Preach the gospel. I want you to see secondly, and I'm going to move through this one real quickly, but the faith involved in missions. How do we do missions? how can we be a part? How can I be a part of missions in a church? How do we send missionaries and how do we get involved in this matter? I'll just say it real simply. Faith. I'm real deep tonight, I'm telling you. I'm showing the depth and wisdom of a young preacher. It's faith. Say, what is faith? Very simple. Taking God at His word. All of what we just described and what these missionaries have been doing for decades now is taking God at His word. Saying, God, we believe that Your plan for the world is for them to be saved. And we believe that if people don't go, they won't hear. And we believe that we're to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by faith, we're going to go. We just believe You. Amen? We believe God. That's what they're doing. They're believing God. Okay, now church, whether you, I understand correctly, you already support these missionaries, already supporting them. Whether you support some more, whether you plant the church in a year, how many more missionaries could you support? How many more could take the gospel to a lost and dying world? Can I just tell you, it's directly related to your faith. What each of them testified tonight about, whenever God stirred their heart, when they understood, this is how we just started giving. God opened, listen, God brings usually conviction into the heart. You understand, wow, we ought to be doing that. Do you believe that? Do you believe tonight? Amen. You either believe it or you don't. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's really simple. And whenever I come down to it, I either say, God, could You give me $1 million or to give to missions? Oh, boy, I don't know. Everybody okay? My faith is a little weak. Lord, help my unbelief. Believe in what missions is, it's getting the gospel. That's preaching the gospel. Then if you believe, listen, you believe the gospel for salvation, right? The same God that saved your soul can supply your need. And He can give through you what you couldn't come up with yourself. Right? How in the world did you ever give $7 a week? Right? I mean, really, to them, $7 a week, that's way out. What's that? When you started, right? And now God's increasing faith all the time. And that's what I'm praying. God, increase my faith. This week, I need God to increase my faith. There's some hurdles. There's some impossibilities in my life. There's some things that I think, God, this would be impossible. It'd take a miracle. And God's been saying, that's good. That's right where I want you. Because I can tell you, church, it's not about me. And it's not just about us. It's about what He wants to do through us. What could God do through you? If you really believed and took Him at His word, what could happen? And then there has to be the obedience of it. And that's what we're going to get to finally here. Let me just share these few thoughts and we'll wrap this up this evening. The first aspect was the foundation of missions. Secondly, we see the faith involved in missions. And then finally tonight, we see the furtherance of missions. How does it go farther? Well, we have to get involved. And there are a few ways that we can get involved. And I believe that God wants everyone to be involved. And I believe that if you'll read this book, you'll come to the same conclusion. That you need to be involved. This is not just for the few. It's just not for the educated. It's not just for the ones that over here are a little more talented. This is not for just a select few. This is for everyone. You say, how can I get involved? Well, it's real simple again. Number one, you can pray. And I'm gonna let me just say this. I've heard these a lot in my life, and I know you've heard a lot of them too. I heard it in a different way. But here's what I believe. I believe that we ought to be doing all of them. Okay? You can pray, you can go, and you can give. And we ought to be doing that, all of us, all the time. This is, we look at missions as some separate thing. It's like, but we are part of missions. It's a part of us. It's a part, the church is a mission field. I mean, we're reaching the mission field all around us. And oftentimes we look at just us. We're concerned. I love your sanctuary. It's a beautiful sanctuary. It's a great place for you to come and worship. But listen, the day that you get more concerned about carpet and chairs and screens and lights and windows and crown molding and fancy things all around, listen, the day that you get concerned about all of that, mission's done gone. I'm just trying to say, thank God for all that you've been given. Praise God for it. You ought to rejoice every time you walk in and say, Lord, thank you that we've got a wonderful place to come and worship you. Meet with God. Let God stir your heart. Speak to you. Get fired up and say, all right, Lord, how can I help this week? Who can I minister to? Who can I preach to this week at work? Who can I preach to as my neighbor? Who can I give? How can I give more this week? What is it, Lord, that you'd have me to do? The matter of missions is really simple. We just oftentimes look at it in a different way, as if it's the missionaries. It's their responsibility. Well, okay, then I got to ask you, how do the missionaries get to the mission field? How do they stay on the mission field? What happens when needs arise? What happens when sickness arise? Right? When problems and pain and suffering and things that they don't have like you and I have. I have been to Juarez. I've just barely been over. That doesn't count, but yeah, that's about it. I've been to the Philippines. I've not been to Brazil. But if you just bear with me for a moment, church, we are really spoiled in America. And I admit that myself. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us as Americans. But you go to another country and you see how they live and you see how they love and you see how happy they are with nothing. And it's like, oh my. Wow. And they don't have a lot of conveniences that we have. And the access to a lot of doctors and hospitals are far less than what we would want to take. Are everybody okay? Our children too. Oh, we don't want that. Okay. You've got three missionaries that are in foreign fields that have a lot less. What happens when something goes wrong on the field? What happens when they get sick? What happens? You know what they do? They believe God by faith. They trust God. That God would, in a missions conference like this, stir your heart to say, you know what? We need to up the giving. We need to give some more. But understand, we don't like to do that, myself included, because when we get to, like I said at the beginning, when it comes to us, we think it's ours. There's so many illustrations and so many scriptures. You know the scriptures. I believe this with all my heart. God has called some and many. Maybe he'll call some this week to go to a foreign field. I believe God's called all of us to go where we are. But in this room tonight, there could be some. It might be a child. It might be one of my boys. It might be one of your children. It might be any one of you that God would select and God would come and say, I want to dedicate and sanctify you for my service in a foreign field. I want you to be a missionary for me. And that could take place this week. Boy, how wonderful it would be. Listen, God's still calling. God's not finished yet. I know we're getting to the end. We're nearing the end, so to speak, but none of us knows when that's going to happen. Until then, may we be found faithful. But God may call some to go to the foreign field, but God's called all of us to give. We can study 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I had a mind to go through that, but our time, I believe that's what the Lord would have tonight. I do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Several churches rallied together, deep poverty, but somehow they were abounding. They had needs met, and they were giving liberally. You know why? Because they believed the gospel, and they believed in missions, and Paul and others taking the gospel around. And church, I'm going to ask you tonight in closing, do you believe? Do you believe in what South Knollwood is preaching, what your pastor has laid before you, the vision? Do you believe in the testimonies of these missionaries who've given their lives to preaching the gospel? Do you believe that? If you do, I'd like to ask you tonight, this may be unusual in a way. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone at all. I don't know how your pastor wants to conclude and give the invitation. I know there's other things tonight, but here's what I'd like to ask. If you believe the gospel, and you believe that God wants this church to take the gospel further, and that God could use you, I'm going to ask that you either find a place up here at the front or find a place at your seat and spend some time with God. Because here's what happened. Earlier, you were handed a commitment card. And listen, that commitment card doesn't do a whole lot of good if you're not willing to believe God. And if you're not willing to get on your knees or fall on your face or sit there, I understand sometimes people can't get up. But if you're not willing to pray and seek God and say, God, what would you have me to give? And then be willing to believe it when he shows it to you. Right? When he shows a husband $4 and a wife $3. Or $30 and $40. Or some $100. And you'd say, I can't do that. Okay, let's just pray about it.